on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, on DAB Digital Radio, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about Rugby League. The RHP Show on Pulse 1 with Aaron, the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie, Hunter, Paul.
Kia ora and welcome to the RHP Show live here at Pulse 1 Studios. We're looking forward to what has been an amazing first round. I really enjoyed the first round of the Super League and the Championship also. We're looking forward to League 1 starting up in a couple of weeks' time, especially with these two boys in the house. We're giving away a couple of tickets or a family pass to the Bradford Bulls final pre-season friendly against local derby team Keithley Cougars. There you go, boys. We're talking about Keithley once again, and you know how they get upset. So we're going to talk about Keithley quite a lot in this show, just because these boys will be playing against them. So easy way to get a hold of those tickets, just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. So let's get it on. This is the RHP Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
G'day, boys. How's it going? Hey, what have you been up to? Everyone in good spirits?
All good, yeah.
Good, yeah.
Didn't get a, I got to admit, a bit disappointed with you three.
Why?
Didn't get a happy birthday off you over the weekend. It was my birthday over the weekend.
I seen someone saying happy birthday, but I didn't know whether it was legit. I didn't know whether it was legit or not.
Didn't get an invite to the party, did you?
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't get a happy birthday last weekend for mine.
You did it. It's in the post, you know, Royal Mail and that sort of thing.
Yeah, mine's in the post for you.
So, happy birthday, Rob. Touché. Happy birthday to Elliot from a week ago. How old did that make you, Elliot?
22.
Do anything
years
special?
Young.
It wasn't another trip down to London, romantic trip down to London, Italy, France this time with the wife?
No. I can't remember what I did. It wasn't that exciting.
You got to celebrate it like Aaron. Aaron celebrates. So when Aaron celebrates, he never goes out with his missus, just goes out with the boys. So that's how you do celebrations.
I'm taking notes of Aaron. My type of guy.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah, we know who's got the pants in your relationship.
Oh, well.
So anything special?
No, just a quiet one. Yeah, just family and friends, you know what I mean? Nothing major.
We did go out for his birthday, we did go out for his birthday.
Yeah, all the boys.
I went missing for about 20 hours, I think.
At least you're honest. At least he's honest. You know, Aaron, did you miss your invite to that?
I want to come to that. That's something too wild.
That sounds too wild for me. It's one of those invitations you don't actually want. No. The invitation to you guys, actually, I ended up in a caravan at Flamingoland. That's what I did this weekend with the family.
Sounds dodgy.
It was, mate. To be honest, nothing happens at Flamingoland during the winter.
No, I've never been.
Anything happen during the summer at Flamingoland?
No, it's pretty good. It seems pretty cool. It looks like there's lots of rides. I don't know if they're all open. But we spent there, my full family, my son, my daughter, my wife, all of them got the flu. So I spent the whole 3 days basically just babysitting them. Anyway, Rugby League was on the agenda, though. There was one point I got to watch the Leeds game, so I quite enjoyed that, and the Cass and St. Helens game. Let's talk about the games of the opening round. First game up.
Warrington Leeds.
What are your thoughts on that? Let's get the verdict.
I thought it was a good game. I didn't think Warrington offered too much in attack. I was a bit disappointed, to be honest, in regards to the systems and the structure. Whether that, obviously, I know they had a new halfback, Tyrone Roberts, but I just thought they've had all pre-season to work on this.
He did nothing.
Nah.
Let's be honest. He did nothing, and we do know there's got to be some melting in time.
Well, he didn't play.
I just wanted so much more. I was so excited.
He hadn't played in pre-season, had he either. And he did look a little bit not quite ready for the season to start.
What do you mean by that?
He was rusty, I thought. Why, what did you think I meant?
Oh, I don't know. Right. I just wanted to get a little bit of clarification on
rusty. Just thought he was rusty. Look, they look like Steve Price has done a lot of work on the defence and the structure in the off-season. I mean, he's an Australian, he's well revered for coaching teams that are tough to beat and things like that. So I think that's sort of where Warrington are at the minute. I think they're going to try and make themselves a tough team to beat. Similar to Bradford in a lot of ways, but Bradford have got the advantage of a few extra weeks to get themselves ready. So I think a few
18 pre-season matches.
Yeah. I think a few weeks down the line, you'll see Warrington looking a lot better. I think they'll get better as the season goes on, and as Roberts gets used to Super League a little bit more, because still think he's going to be one of the best players in the comp.
Definitely. Look, Pelt, what was your verdict on the opening game of the Super League?
Yeah, I thought Warrington looked a bit rusty. I think people thought they were going to start faster than they were this season. I thought they were going to start off better than they were. You know, they had moments where they could have won the game, but, you know, it didn't work out that way.
So let's, look, let's bring that under the spotlight.
Yeah, Ryan Atkins' dive were a bit special.
Come on.
Yeah, if he'd have dived low, he probably would have scored it, because he was close enough, or if he'd have just, yeah. If he'd have took ball up and gone low, maybe.
It's a freebie.
Maybe. What do you mean,
yeah,
maybe?
He probably would have scored.
He was over the line when he left up, leapt off the ground. It's kind of like one of those, well, I know it's coming close to the sideline. If I get in the air, if he was too close to it, dig your nose in.
Made the fullback's job easier, didn't it? Because all he had to do was just throw his body into him while they're in midair.
And he's too, he's way too big to stop him. You know what I thought was quite funny? Obviously, I think the Betfred Super League, I think a lot of the RFL support, throw a lot of support into that sort of, activation. So when we see the, I'm sure that's coming from the governing body. The humorous video that they put on, they went on for ages. I'm doing, it's getting a bit awkward.
Somebody had a lot of time on us, like Betfred. Paddy Powell's approach to stuff. Other betting sites are available live.
But to Ryan Atkins' credit, he's sort of got some ownership of it.
Yeah, you've got to, haven't you? If he comes out fighting that, he's just going to get walked all over. He's got to accept that, and he did, to be fair. It's the best way to take it, isn't it? I saw him put something on about Ryan Air.
That was it.
His face on the side of a plane.
On the front and the back. You guys ever been in a situation where you've done something similar?
I think Pelts has probably done something, yeah.
Yeah, but I've been in a few, but
like when
never
he makes a break down the field and the first thought that comes into his head is chip kick the fullback.
Oh, Pat, I've done that before. I got hooked off Nathan Brown off pitch for doing that.
Yeah. What about this geese?
So you should have as
geese as well.
Geese got its on Twitter, to be fair. Do you never see it last season? So we played at Keighley. It was sellout. We've just scored to it was close enough. For Cougar Park, probably most of our we've scored a try, and then I'm stood waiting for a kickoff, and then this, like, what massive, this goose swoops down.
Oh, I remember.
And it lands on pitch.
That game? Yeah.
And it started looking at me, and I was looking at the goose, and I've had a fear of geese since a kid. So this was like one of the worst things that could happen to me. And then the goose started running towards me, so I run the other way, and then everyone was telling me, and then, like,
one of the greatest moments I've ever actually experienced. What's he doing?
I don't know, someone made a Twitter called Bradford Goose, and he always tweets me all the time, so.
He was backing up. The hands were coming
forward. Backing up and it was coming towards him, That was awkward, but yeah.
Well, at least you got some ownership of that as well. You should get a goose tattoo.
Oh, good idea.
Can we change his intro into the thing to Ross the Goose Peltier?
Yeah.
Oh, I've done something similar. Magic Weekend 2009, I think, up at Edinburgh. Mm. Someone from Salford made a break when I was playing for Salford. They passed me the ball. I'm in space. I'm thinking I've got a fullback running me down. It isn't. It's Tony Club. Front rower. Well, it was some front rower. I thought that it was a fullback proper running me down. So I'm heading for the corner. I dive for the corner. This is when if you touch the corner flag, you're out. I dive for the corner, touch the corner flag because I got the ball in the wrong hand. So I'm out. Put the ball down, but I'm out, I've taken the ball out. Whoever was chasing me, I think it was Tony Club, was nowhere near me. I basically just jumped out. free try line open, and I've jumped out. I just thought, you know what, I better start winding up this career of mine. The next game, Saints Demolition or Castleford.
Saints are good, yeah. Team of beat. I think everyone thought they were title favourites, and they put a performance and they did a cast on cast, didn't they? Kept the foot on the throat all the way through, didn't ease up at any point, and anyone who got 6-7-1 on Ben Barber, Man of Steel, before the season started, that's looking like a good bet.
Looking like an excellent bet.
Yeah, if he stays fit, I think he's going to be in the top three, isn't he?
And, you know, I think they argue that, you know, the game over here allows players with that sort of, because it's a really offensive game over here. You know, down under, the game is actually quite, can sometimes be quite boring to watch because it's all about statistics, it's all about playing out the sets. But over here, there's a, you could argue there's a little bit more colour in the game, a little bit more space and time on the ball, not so fixated on that minutiae of the game, because it's not part of the game over here. Some of the coaches make the mistake of coming over here and trying to coach that into teams, and they just lose the plot, they lose the confidence of the players, and it just doesn't work. So a player like Ben Barber should be able to, you know, really, really go from strength to strength in the game in the UK, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think he'll flourish, definitely.
All right, we're going to take a break now. We're going to come back, have a quick look at some of the other games, and also just pull apart that Cass game a little bit of time. And we're also going to be discussing some of the legends of the game and what they're having to deal with post-career. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Peltier, Elliot Minchella and Aaron Bauer. We're giving away a family pass to the Bradford Bulls' final home match for pre-season friendly against local derby, Keighley Cougars, this Sunday afternoon up at the Odsall Stadium at 3 p.m. Easy way to pick up those tickets, just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, leave your details, and we'll let you know how you can pick those tickets up. All right, back into the rugby boys. Still looking back at the weekend just gone. Cass versus St. Helens. St. Helens, hot. Thoughts on Cass?
Look, only one game, first of all. Look, it's a long season. You know, like, I remember Leeds getting walloped against Cass last year, and everyone were quick to say McDermott should have been sacked, and Leeds weren't good enough, and Maguire was past it, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But they came back and they won the only game that mattered by the end. So there's a long way to go in that regard, but they'll certainly learn some pretty important lessons. I mean, the jury was out on Ben Roberts anyway at fullback. Castleford's game, the way they play, that's so expansive, means that whoever the fullback is, there's a lot of running involved, and you've got to be a very, very fit player to play. Hardacre was probably one of the fittest players in the comp, just naturally fit. So, and Roberts has generally struggled with his fitness a little bit as well from time to time. He spent a lot of time in the halves.
It's a very different position.
It is. They can say that it's very similar, but there's a lot work involved.
I can back you up on the point that you're trying to make there. I've played both fullback and in the halves at both club level, Super League level, and international level. What I liken it to is being in the halves and being in the defensive line is very anaerobic. So it's an explosive effort, and then you have a rest. Explosive effort, and then you have a rest. Whereas fullback, you're constantly running. You're just sweeping from side. So it's very aerobic. It's sort of like you cover a lot of ground. You don't do a lot of the explosive stuff, so you're not making many tackles, but you have to, you're basically on a pendulum swinging from one side of the field to the other, working with your fullback. So it's a very different type of fitness.
And I think Greg Eden ended up going to fullback at one point in the game as well, which tells you all you need to know. I don't think Darryl Powell's completely as convinced on Roberts at fullback as maybe he was. So interesting to see what they do this Sunday against Widnes.
Could you maybe consider Truman at the back there?
I don't think so, no. I think he'd be wasted there. He's a pretty good halfback, isn't he? He's got a lot of potential. I don't think he's going to play this week, to be honest. I think they're going to mix it up. I thought he got a little bit let down by some senior players around him on Friday night, so I think they'll probably take him out of the fire this week. But yeah, it looks like Eden or Roberts. I think that's all they've got at the minute.
So, Elliot, Ross, how would you work that spine of the team? What is the perfect spine of the team for you guys in reflection of the how Cass performed on the weekend?
I think that's a very good question. I think Darryl Powell's probably thinking the same. He doesn't really have the answers, and I'm not too sure if he's 100% nailed on. Obviously, Zach Hardacre being out of that team has left a massive hole, and he's backed his players that he already has in his squad by not bringing anybody in, a full-back anyway. He's obviously brought Jamie Ellis in, another half-back. So he must have confidence in either Greg Eden or Ben Roberts to be able to fill that role. So whether he just perseveres with Ben Roberts and gives him another shot, but I agree with Aaron. It's a completely different position, and Ben Roberts isn't a fullback, and whether Greg Eden is or not, that remains to be seen. He's a pretty good winger. Whether he's a fullback, I'm not sure.
Ross, on the forwards, do you think that the forwards, Cats forwards, play to their potential?
No, I don't think. I think a lot of it were lost in middle as well for them at weekend. You know, I think that they played. They had a lot to play off back of last year. That's why they were so good. You know, McMeekin, I don't think he had best game he was playing. I think in the forward,
Millington was under the weather, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went up to scratch.
So he started on the bench, and he normally starts the games. It's a good platform for them, but he only lasted 5-10 minutes.
It could be one of them. He's quite old, isn't he, as well. It could be one of them, is he?
Nothing wrong with maturity, mate.
Is he starting to decline? But like Aaron said, it could have been.
He had a cold. How harsh is that? Opening game of the season, the guy got a cold. The lurgy's going around, and you're.
Your immune system's down because you're old. That's why. you never know. It could be one of them, you know. They've hit the heights of a grand final last season. All pressure's on for them to impress again. And they might have just caught in lights and saints, you know. Got revenge from that semi-final. And they could turn the corner and all... This all what we're saying now could be a thing that passed
For me, it really is the spine of the team... On reflection of last week, I think Daryl's the type of guy who will be a little more persistent. I think he'll like to, you know, he understands what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is put another halfback, someone who can glue that last pass together like Zach Carter can. Luke Gale going all the way into the defensive line and the other half going all the way into the defensive line and passing the ball back, and whoever receiving that ball has to have the ability to catch and release straight away, you know, within a split second. Greg Eden doesn't have that. But what Greg Eden does have, he's got great spatial awareness in the back of the field. Look, you were at Huddersfield Giants when he was there and he broke into the first team. Ross, he would just have to work on that element of the game. One thing that I think was, and the reason why we probably won't see Truman this week is because the defensive frailties around him. Mm. He looked like quite a bit of a spot. And St. Helens, to their credit, they did everything right. They looked strong in the middle. As soon as Castleford tried to do anything on the edge, they got up and they got in. They shut it down before it could even get into, they could even start to get any type of timing or rhythm. So I take my hat off to St. Helens. I think, again, like we were talking about, Leon was making the point last time about St. Helens, Castleford didn't win that game last year. St. Helens lost it. It was another one of those. Well, actually, this week, St. Helens won it.
Yeah.
And they won it from probably the first opening 5 minutes. They strangled Cass out of the game. Done their homework, prepared well for it, both defensively and offensively, and absolutely give it to them. So let's quickly look at the other games of the round. Widnes, very impressive at home to a very shaky Catalans. What are your thoughts on that, Aaron? You were there.
Widnes were good. Look, I wouldn't say they were amazing. You know, I don't think they were anywhere near the level of, like, St. Helens or Wigan, who were also very good on the opening weekend. They were playing a Catalans team who've just got this horrible ability to just roll over and die in periods of games, and it just takes it away from them. I mean, the discipline's atrocious. It was before Steve McNamara got there. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's a French thing. Maybe, I don't know.
They are rude.
They're rude to each other.
The big French lads, they play the game tough, don't they? And a lot of the penalties from the weekend were for stuff like late shots and off the ball shots and things like that. And it was the forwards who were putting those shots in. Steve McNamara, I think, came in and thought he could sort of get rid of that with a click of a finger. And I think he's found that even with a 3-month off season, it's going to take a long time for those problems to go away at Catalans. If they get the home form sorted, which they have done for 95% of the time in Super League, they'll probably make the 8 because they'll win 9-10 of their 11 home games. And that'll get you in the 8 with a couple of away wins. But if they don't, they're in trouble again, I think.
All right. You know, it's so frustrating because you look at that Catalans team, team last year and the team this year, made up of most of the international players, so much talent, but discipline is key. Culture, cohesion, that is the key to success. Everyone keeps beating on about it, but then normally, and you've heard murmurs of this come out from the past, it always stems from the top, from the boardroom. If the culture's not right in the boardroom, it doesn't get right anywhere else in the business. And that's always the same thing, no matter where you go, anywhere, in any walk of life. So, anyway, that's a big challenge for Stevie Mac.
Yeah, massive. They've got a home game against St Helens on Saturday, so it didn't get any easier for them either. And when you lose, you know, 0-1 can quickly become 0-2, 0-3, 0-4. And if you get 4 or 5 weeks in and you've still not won that first game, it's hanging over your head. And in this structure, 23 rounds, if you're 4 or 5 games in without a win, you're pretty much in the bottom four. You know, it's tough to get out of it because everyone else will be up and running. So at Warrington last year, it took them 8 games.
The reality is also with the Fairfield Catalans, and something that they have to avoid at all costs is to getting into their rhythm of losing again, because they've got the majority of the players that they had in 2017 are still there. And when you learn to lose, it's like learning to win. You learn to lose, and they can't get into that downward spiral. A team like that, because it doesn't get easier for them. Yeah, they had a tough place to go away to, and when teams from the UK travel to the south of France, it's always tough. But equally, every other game for them is back on this side of the soil, and the intensity levels are going to be right up there. So let's have a look at the last two games of the round. Actually, we've got to go to a break. I'm just kidding. Producer Luke, he's looking at me going, nah. Okay, we'll quickly come back and look at the last two games of the round when we come back after this break. Stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP Show, live in the studio with Ross, the reggae warrior, Peltier, Elliot, the Italian, Stellium, Intella, and Aaron, the power, Bauer. Boys, we were talking about the Super League rounds. Oh, actually, no, before we go any further, we're giving away a family pass up at the Bulls. Final preseason match of the preseason against Keithley Cougars this coming Sunday up at the Oddsville Stadium. Really easy way to get a hold of these tickets. Just leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. So just finishing off the Super League first round, boys. Wakefield versus Hull KR.
Wakey.
Yeah, my tip. Looking good out there. Yeah, I called it. No, they look good. Convincing win, you know. So, yeah, Wakey looking good.
Yeah, I think they've kind of gone under the radar after this weekend. Everybody's been impressed by them, but nobody's ripping up trees about Wakefield. They're very impressive for me. Liam Finn and Jacob Miller, they look very good. And obviously Tom Johnston on the wing, come back from a leg break, yep. I think it was, and
horrendous.
Scored that trick, didn't he? Some good finishes there. So yeah, Wakey, good, looking good. John Keir effect, that.
Now it is, the John Keir effect. Surprised by KR's performance, Aaron?
Well, No, because Wakefield are a good team. I mean, I was interested to see how they handled it because they were favourites, and they've probably not been heavy favourites in the opening game of the year for a long time, but they handled it really well. As like Ross said, Tom Johnston, top talent, you know, with no disrespect to Wakey, I think his career is probably going to head in a direction. They might outgrow Wakefield at some point, but OKR crying out for a half-back, aren't they? I mean, they obviously got Maguire, which is a great bit of business, but alongside him, they're either stuck between playing a kid in Matty Marsh, who's not really played a lot of rugby, or Chris Atkin, who's played in the Championship for most of his career and played part-time. So this is his first full pre-season as a professional as well, so that's going to be tough for him to get into. It's going to take him a bit of time to get into a rhythm, I think. So, yeah, I think they need a half-back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're struggling, it. Danny Addy out for the season.
Yeah, that's another big one.
In pre-season, he could have played there. Yeah. Do a job in Arsenal, lost him early on. So,
but, you know, they've known this all pre-season. Mm. They're shallow in that.
Well, they tried to get Louis, didn't they? They made a play for Louis.
Yeah, it's weak, isn't it? I mean, that suggests that it's weak because you're not trying to... Very late in the preseason to make a move like that, and not only that, you should be covered. You know, you should have some sort of depth. If you're coming from the Championship back up into the Super League, you want to make some noise, don't you? And in the spine of your team is where you've got to make that investment.
Well, they made a big investment in Maguire, didn't they? But it's obvious they need a little bit more.
Yeah, obviously they had Jamie Ellis last year in the Championship, and he's gone back to Cass. So whether they Whether they tried to keep him or not, I'm not too sure. But they've also got Jordan Abdul, who's there. He's a decent player.
No, I think he's back
at Hull City. Abdul's gone back, yeah.
It just depends on what side of the city he's driven to.
They've lost half the spine that got them promoted. Yeah. You know.
And that is what, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Doesn't that seem amazing to you?
Yeah, Ellis was out of the control because he was only on loan, and so was Abdul. So that was a risky take when you bring the loan players in, that if they do well and they go back to Super League, then you've got to replace them. Essentially, Ulcar have just sort of helped these players along and helped some other clubs out.
If you look at the business side of it, if the supporters who showed their true colours in 2017 start watching, well, as we've described it before, the circling of the drain hole once again by Ulcar. You know, as we're talking about, look, you got to get on the front foot. You got to start these seasons really quickly, or else your players lose confidence, supporters lose confidence, and then you start going towards the death rounds. You know, the middle eights, the qualifiers, and I'm sure Ulcar supporter base will not want to be anywhere near that.
Fans are fickle, aren't they, as well? We're all guilty of it with who we support. It was great last year when they were winning every week, but the reality was that they were too good for that league. So they're back at the level where they think they belong.
Last year they had a stronger squad than what they've got this year, especially in the areas in which it's most important.
Yeah, potentially. But you're right that they went into the eights last year. In great form, didn't they? And winning breeds confidence, like you touched on in the last bit. 2 years ago, they went in really struggling and they had a few problems off the field and stuff, and they just got swallowed up in the madness of it all. Lee were the same last year. So, yeah, there's some vulnerable sides. I think by the time the eights come around this year, there'll be some championship sides smelling blood.
Final game of the Super League round we're going to look at is Salford versus Wigan. I think everybody in the studio all picked a Wigan win.
Yeah.
Did you expect the scoreline to be as one-sided as it was?
No, I didn't expect it.
I mean, Salford did jump out with, I think it was 12 points to 6, wasn't it?
In
the game.
I didn't expect it to be as big as it was. Seemed like Salford had a few issues, you know. Greg Johnson got pulled off at half-time. A lot of tries weren't really his fault, but, you know, to pull a winger off at half-time, it's a bit strange showing that opens it up. So, yeah, there might be a few problems at Salford this year, never know.
Wigan look really, really strong down their left side. George Williams' side, a lot of play coming, and they created a lot of space down their left-hand side for Wigan.
Look better, as apparently I knew a couple of people that were there when they changed the shape and put Tompkins to 6, and Iscari played fullback. I like Iscari. I think he's a good player.
But we were also talking about Tompkins as a 6 now. Now he's got to that point of his career where he's not as dynamic running. He's not as explosive, not as probably as quick as he used to be, but he will definitely be smarter.
Well, you forget he was a 6, though. He started as a 6 and played for England at 6. It's only in, like, the last 4 or 5 years where he's become a fullback, an out-and-out fullback, so it looks like he's going to gravitate
back. Michael Maguire, he needed someone to play dynamically at the back there that could glue things together like Zach Hardiker could.
Yeah.
You know, quick passing, releasing the great edges that they've got. You probably lose that with Iscari, though. He doesn't really have a passing game. He's got a great and dynamic running game. And providing that they can hold the numbers in, but he doesn't really have that catch-and-release type of play, you know, get the ball under pressure and be able to hit the centre or the winger on the money.
Nice problem to have, though, isn't it? We talk about Castleford not knowing what they're going to do with their spine. Wigan have got too many options to pick from, really.
Yeah, I think the Wigan result, I didn't expect it, but I wasn't surprised when I saw the result. I think Wigan's class probably has shown, and I saw the tries, and like I said, down that left edge, Oliver Gildart, George Williams, Liam Marshall, he looked very good. It's a young, they're all Wigan lads as well, so they must have some, I know they've played all academy together, and there'll be some good combinations, like we've been saying, and they've obviously got it off to a tee.
I like the look of George Williams. I think he's brought a lot of weight coming away from the World Cup. World Cup 2021, for me, he's got to have his eyes on that.
Yeah, I think he's only 22, 23, so he'll be just going into his peak years as a halfback, won't he, in 3 or 4 years' time. I think for Wigan, the big thing as well is everyone was quick to bag them last year that they couldn't win without a Loughlin. Everyone made that point, and the record, I think they only won one or two games without him last year. So to go first game away from home, knock up a big win without the captain, I think it's answered a few critics, and it's probably given them a little bit of belief as well.
It would have been noisy there as well. 6,000 people. It only holds like 10,000, 12,000, 10,000, 11,000 at that stadium.
Yeah, I said Wigan were going to, you know, prove everyone wrong. People saying they're going to start slow and not do as much this year, but I can see Wigan being, you know, up there and thereabouts all this year, man.
Okay, well, let's fast forward. Let's have a quick look at some of the games coming up this weekend. I know we've got the last segment also, but one of the games I want to talk about is Wigan versus Hull FC in Wollongong. What are your thoughts on that?
I wish I were there. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, it's 28 degrees Celsius there, and sun is on, and Wollongong is right on the beach. So yeah, we all wish we were there.
Interesting, isn't it? You know, it's more than just a game. This one, it's about putting Super League in a good light, opening it up to people who might not normally watch it. And we touched on the difference in styles between the leagues, and I think hopefully, if a few sort of casual NRL fans watch it for the first time, they might be pleasantly surprised at what they see. It's two teams who started really well, and, you know, Wigan, they look like they're going to play a little bit this year, which is good, so hopefully they'll put on a bit of a show for the people of Australia and show British rugby off in a good light.
There's a lot of talent out there for both squads, so a lot of international class players. And I think the World Cup and the grand and the final, the World Cup final, would have done a lot for building that confidence in which you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. It shows that England can compete in the World Club Series as well last year. 2-0, the clean sweep. So there's in effect a series next year, next week with Wigan and Hull games and then Leeds in the World Club Challenge. So it's almost like a little three-game series there. So the next step now is to go and, you know, beat those boys up in Australia next week. And if they can do that, again, it puts us in a good light and a good place.
All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit more at this game, the Hull FC Wigan game, but we're also going to look at the rest of the games coming up this weekend. So stick with us right here on the RHP Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Peltier, Elliot Minchella and Aaron Bauer. We're giving away two tickets or a family pass to the Bradford Bulls' final home preseason clash against Keighley Cougars this Sunday up at Oddsall Stadium. Kickoff will be 3 o'clock. Really easy to pick up the tickets. Just leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. So we were just talking about, boys, we were just talking about the Hull FC versus Wigan match out in Wollongong later this week. I think it's Saturday morning our time, is it?
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Are we able to see that on Sky?
It's on Sky Sports, yeah.
On Sky Sports, okay. We do like all the other pay-per-view channels as well.
All of them.
All of them, every single one of them. Boys, Elliot, Ross, what would you think about flying out to Australia to play one of your league matches?
I'd be happy about it, to be honest. You know, it's going to be a good thing, showcase Super League. You know, lads get a bit of a trip as well, which is never a bad thing, you know. Playing at Wollongong next
week. But you've seen what all the rest of them are doing, waking up 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, staring at the ceiling.
I'd rather wake up at 2 in the morning instead of staying in Australia, you know, in my own house.
What's wrong with your house?
I could think of better things I could be doing, yeah, than waking up at 6 o'clock in Bradford looking at the snow out my window, looking at Wollongong and the sea. Yeah, I think it's awesome for the lads involved. Is it 2 weeks they're out there?
What did Leon say?
Two weeks.
Forget Bondi, I got Blackpool.
Oh. I'm not with Leon on that. Yeah,
forget Bondi, I got Workington. Is there a beach at Workington?
Oh, of course.
Is there anything?
It's on the coast, though. I'm not seeing an actual beach.
Is there anything in Workington?
Find out this year when you go up there.
Oh, yeah,
you're going to say, well, this content just...
Beach.
But, yeah, it would be an exciting trip, but distracting at the same time.
Yeah, it must be.
But the reality is it's distracting for both teams.
Yes.
Everybody will be on holiday then. Yeah. They did this back, they had this experiment back in 1997. What a wonderful holiday that was.
Nice. It's interesting because obviously it's still a Super League game. There's still 2 points up, up for grabs, so that's a strange one. It's
okay. So let's talk rugby then. Final segment of the show. This is where we're talking about results. Hull FC, strong win against Huddersfield Giants last week. Come back from behind. Huddersfield Giants, I think, planted two tries in the opening 10, 15 minutes of the game. There wasn't much in the game full stop in that opening half. Mm. Second half, they showed their class. Wigan, very similar story. Tough first half against Salford, but then showed their class in the second half. Where's this game going to go? Come on.
I think Wigan. I think really impressed with and a little bit surprised by how well they looked for a round one game. You know, made some changes to that spine, made some changes to the way they played, but they look like they're in a good place. I haven't seen the whole highlights, so I don't know. I know they had similar scorelines, both blowouts, weren't they? But yeah, Wigan looking good. I think I'm going to go for Wigan.
Yeah, I'm going to say Wigan. I think also they've got past experience of going down to Australia. Was it 2 years ago they went and played Sydney? Yeah. Obviously Hull, I don't think they've ever done anything like that. So just for that, I'm just going to say Wigan. It's a similar squad to what they had back then. I know they've lost a few, but a lot of the lads will be on that same trip. So I'm going to go Wigan.
Yeah, I'm going to go Wigan by six. So I don't reckon it'll be a blowout at all. I reckon it'll be quite a close game. I think the travel, jet lag, all that will play a factor in the game. Might be a slow start.
I actually don't think the jet lag and the travel and that is going to play a bit of a factor. And the reason why I say this is because it's an exhibition game, kind of. You know what I mean? It's a league game, but it's got that idea of an exhibition game because it's away from home for both teams. They know they're on show. You know, it's like an exciting event. Well, I'm not so much about shot window. I mean, there may be for some of them. That's what it's about. But it's an opportunity to do something exciting. And when it's exciting like that, you lift your game for some reason. So I always remember traveling down under. A lot of the time Henry and I, when we went to play internationals, we didn't set off until Monday morning. So it means we wouldn't arrive there till Wednesday because they're 12 hours ahead. So we'd play on a Friday night. Internationals were always on Friday nights. 2 days to get over jet lag wasn't that sort of thing. Wasn't an issue. It wasn't a problem. So by that rationale, I don't think the fatigue's going to be a part of it. It's just what you guys were all talking about. Who's going to deal? Who's going to deal with the distraction more? And I got to admit, I got to tend with you guys. I think Wigan got more experience with dealing with that type of distraction. It's a different type of distraction. We say, well, wait a minute. Hull FC have been to both the last two Challenge Cup finals, which is a big distraction. Semi-finals, a big distraction. But I think we can just have that little bit of more depth in international players. Their leadership group, i.e. the Sam Tompkins, the Lachlans of that group, have more of an influence on the culture of the team. And I think by that rationale, they'll probably deal with that sort of pressure a little bit better. We'll see. We'll see. I think it's going to be interesting. Saturday morning, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to watch anyway. Okay, so first game up, Leeds host Hull KR at home.
Yeah.
Thursday night.
Allen Road.
Yeah. But it is a home away from home, you could argue.
Be an interesting night with Maguire going back to Leeds. I'm sure he'll be up for it, won't he? No lack of motivation, but I think they'll need a little bit more than that OKR to get a result. I'd be back in Leeds, I think.
Yeah, I reckon Leeds as well. I think, especially for Leeds playing at Elland Road, they'll have that extra bit of motivation. I think they'll do them, easily.
Yeah, Leeds win for me. I think they were very impressive against Warren, and they didn't hit the straps, but then again, they still won away at Warren, and it's, was it 8 years, I think they said? Yeah. 7 years they haven't won at Warrington. And
they're right.
7 years. Leeds. Yeah, 2011 last time they won a game at Warrington.
So that's a big thing. And,
wow.
You know, it's a good start to the season. Obviously, going to Ellen.
I've got to admit, I agree. A win's a win. And I thought the forward pack were great for Leeds. And I thought they really mustered up really well. I thought Parcell was absolutely brilliant. I think he was the difference between the two teams. Every time he got the opportunity to jump in the middle of the park and turn the Warrington forward pack around, he did that, and he did that better than what Warrington did. But I still wasn't blown away by them. And I thought that was a game that Warrington lost.
Round one, though. Leeds with a new half-back in there, and they have got to integrate Dwyer into that system as well. Change the way Parcell plays a little bit. I think that was a good sign for Leeds of what's to come.
Yeah. Fair enough. So we'll see how that unfolds over the next, over the next couple of months, really. Huddersfield Giants, same night, Thursday night, will host Warrington.
I think it's going to be an interesting game. Both teams didn't, round one didn't go as they planned. There's going to be a backlash, and it's whoever bounces back best, I think. I think for me, Warrington's attack is the key. If their attack is 10-20% better than it was against Leeds, I think they'll win the game. But Huddersfield, they're a decent team. It won't be a pushover.
Yeah, I reckon Warrington. I don't see Huddersfield really doing too much.
Ikahihi 4 picked up an injury.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a potential massive blow for them. Because Warrington's got a decent pack. And that sort of size and that sort of experience. And when he plays well, when he's going forward, Huddersfield seem to do well.
Yeah, I think Colton will be playing again, making his Super League debut. You know, you're going to have a front rower Super League debut against like Chris Hill and that. I reckon Warrington are going to attack it.
Yeah, whoever loses is not from two. It won't be a crisis, will it? But they were both in and around that bottom end last year. So then straight away, you know, week, 2 weeks in, you're already on the same path as last year, so whoever loses is in a bit of trouble.
All right, quickly, let's have Wakey versus host Salford.
Gotta be Wakey, I think, at home as well. Salford struggled last week. I'll be back in Wakefield.
Yeah, I'm with Warren. It's a Wakey win for me. Fairly convincing.
Here's an interesting one. Yeah. Catalans hosting St Helens at home.
Catalans are going to get smoked by about 30 points.
I think it's a bit of a make or break for Catalans to see what direction their season's going to go. If they put a good performance and obviously come away with something, you know, they're on a bit of build confidence. If not, I think it's going to be a long old year.
Yeah, I'd go for Saints. I think I'll be back in Saints.
And Cass at home to Widnes.
Cass.
Classy Cass.
Yeah, Cass. Don't see Widnes doing much. The bounce back.
Witness on the back end of getting of giving someone a spanking, and Cass on the back end of getting spanked.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, boys, for being in the studio tonight. Thank you very much, and wherever you are at home also. We love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1, Wednesday evening from 6.